And as we said, May is college graduation season, but at theaters, it's also the start of summer movie season. The latest Star Trek film ruled the box office this weekend, taking in more than $70 million, a record for the long-running franchise. But what other films will boldly go where no summer movies have gone before? Joining us to talk about films you might want to look for this summer is Wesley Morris, film critic for the Boston Globe. Welcome. Thank you for joining us again.
How are you?
Well, I'm great. I did not get to the movies this weekend. It wasn't on my dance card. So you did see the big Star Trek film, right?
I did see it.
How was it? It's
exciting. I'm not a Star Trek person. I didn't watch much of the show. I caught a few episodes, you know, here and there over the course of my life. But, you know, it's interesting. This movie kind of, it brings out how much this series is a part of just living in this country, just having it had a television or having had somebody who had a TV. You watch what these people were like on TV as their younger selves. It's kind of like Muppet Babies for Star Trek.
So it's a prequel. It's kind of the prequel. Yeah. It's the backstory.
It's the backstory, but I mean, the movie takes a very interesting leap, which is to sort of throw this new version through a wormhole that kind of allows J.J. Abrams, the director and writer of this new movie, to do whatever he wants, because this movie is set in a universe that's parallel to the Star Trek that existed on TV in the 60s. It's really brilliant. It's a kind of a brilliant idea.
All right. Well, let's play a short clip from a film. This takes a look back at the characters, as you said, from the 60s television series when they were young. In this scene that we're just going to hear, Captain Kirk meets Ship Doctor Bones McCoy for the first time on a shuttle flight. Here it is.
This is Captain Pike. We've been cleared for takeoff.
I may throw up on you.
I think these things are pretty safe.
Don't pander to me, kid. One tiny crack in the hull and our blood boils in 13 seconds. Solar flare might crop up, cook us in our seats. And wait till you're sitting pretty with a case of Andorian shingles. See if you're still so relaxed when your eyeballs are bleeding. Space is disease and danger wrapped in darkness and silence.
Oh, cheery. Is that fun?
it's fun. You know, it's funny watching these actors. The two actors in that scene were Chris Pine, who plays Captain Kirk, and Carl Urban, who plays Bones McCoy. And what you sort of realize in an interesting way is how much the series, the characters became types, but the sort of as defined by the actors who played them and as by what the show put the character and the other subsequent movies put the characters through. So what could have been a very campy, almost Mel Brooksian exercise in, you know, farcical space travel actually becomes a really interesting reappropriation of how these characters relate to each other as members of this crew and as people. The one thing that I didn't really love about the movie is that I was hoping it would have more for the other non-Spock, non-Kirk characters to do. So you've got, you know, the Scotty and Uhura and Bones. I mean, they have things to do, but they're more functional. They're not as developed as characters as Kirk.
They're still more a part of the scenery as they were during the series. One other thing I wanted to ask you, there have been 10 previous Star Trek movies, and they've been criticized on the whole for being watchable, but for being great for the hardcore fans, but not having much to offer people who are non-Trekkies, people who, like you, aren't really fans of the series or the whole, it's a whole exercise. So is this film watchable for folks who are not that interested in Star Trek?
Oh, yeah. I think so, very much. And, you know, some of the original Star Trek movies had, there were things, like Wrath of Khan is sort of, I think, held up as the best of all of those films. There was filmmaking in that movie. There was Ricardo Montalban giving this amazingly over-the-top performance that, you know, sort of brought something out of William Shatner in that series or in that movie. And I think that there's filmmaking in this new Star Trek. J.J. Abrams, who's also done Lost and Alias, he did a Mission Impossible movie too. He's smart, and he also has a visual wit and some style that sort of carry along what could have been a very sort of pro forma summer movie exercise. If you look at something like Wolverine, for instance, where there's not a lot of filmmaking craft, every shot in the movie has been taken from a kit on how to make a big, loud summer movie. I feel like Star Trek, there's some there's a real sense of craftsmanship. There's a real sense of care, both for how to make a movie and how to tell a story, and also for the characters. I mean, he gets Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto, who play Spock and Kirk, or Kirk and Spock, are really good in this movie. I mean, it's not campy at all. I mean, it's a real movie.
All right, let's move on to some of the other films coming down the pike. That's what we promised. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about summer movies with Wesley Morris, film critic for the Boston Globe. More blockbusters coming down the pike. There are the latest movies in the Transformer and Terminator franchises. Now, I understand you're not that excited about either of these.
Who told you that?
We need to know.
No. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know why we need another Terminator movie, but especially one that James Cameron didn't actually make. James Cameron made the first two, and the director of this fourth one is McGee, who also made Charlie's Angels. And I think he's a smart guy. He knows how to make a fun movie. But it'll be interesting to see where the John Connor story winds up. I mean, I'm not that excited to see the end of the world happen yet again. Mm-hmm. But maybe I hope to be surprised in some way. I mean, there are more movies that I'm more interested in seeing than another Terminator, I guess.
And here's one, and I'll just warn our parents who may be listening. There are little ears that the title is one that you might not be thrilled with. The movie,
it's not spelled the same way.
It's true. Inglourious Basterds. It's a World War II film, the latest from director Quentin Tarantino. It stars Brad Pitt. We have a clip from the trailer, and here it is.
My name is Lieutenant Aldo Rain, and I need me 8 soldiers. We're going to be dropped into France dressed as civilians. We're going to be doing one thing only. Killing Nazis.
Yes, sir!
That's Brad Pitt, of course, in Inglourious Basterds. What are you looking forward to in this movie? You are looking forward to this one.
I believe I am. And, you know, as a film critic saying he's looking forward to Quentin Tarantino movie kind of risks a certain inevitability. But I have to say this movie is coming out at the end of summer. It's going to be at Cannes, the film festival in France, in about a week. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this director, who is really interested not so much in this case, it's a World War II movie, but it's not about World War II as far as I can predict. I mean, it looks like it's a movie about World War II movies. And he's just a very witty person. And I think at this point, you know, at the end of the year last year, we had about 4 movies related in some way to World War II and the Holocaust. Tom Cruise was killing Nazis. You know, The Reader was about sleeping with a Nazi. Defiance was about the Jews who fought the Nazis and won. So it'll be interesting to see how this movie sort of not so much corrects that, but what it adds to that conversation where, you know, the other 3 movies I don't think were very good. And this one is going to try to do something fun, I think, with not so much the war, but the conventions of movies about war.
Well, speaking of conventions, one of the knocks against summer films is that they're really not films anymore. They're actually video games that you see in the theater, that they're all for young men. And I wanted to ask, well, that women and grown-ups really need to wait for fall before it's safe to go back to the theater. Is that fair, or is that just something that the haters say?
That is absolutely fair. Hmm. Sure. No, I mean, call me a hater, because, you know, I think that one of the interesting things about the way these institutions got set up, and, you know, this happened, it began to happen around 1975, where Jaws sort of in 77, when Jaws and Star Wars came out respectively, the seasons began to be defined by things like importance and quality and frivolity. And so what began to happen and really solidified during the 1990s was this idea that the summer movie going season was when you just put all your expensive eggs in a 4-month basket. And that's when there doesn't have to be any sort of mind behind the filmmaking or mind behind the storytelling. You just have to get everything on a Happy Meal box or the side of a Burger King 16-ounce drink container. And people will just go. So that means that mostly women and people who aren't 14 years old they sort of feel alienated. And I think every summer there's a sleeper that comes out of nowhere or that manages to grab people into the megaplex that wouldn't ordinarily go.
Okay,
and
well,
I think
quickly, what's the sleeper this summer? Possibly. I know I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry. But
well, I hate to lean on Meryl Streep for the third or fourth summer in a row, but I mean, she miraculously at all, like, I think she's around 60 or a little beyond it. She is a bona fide movie star more than she was when she was the greatest actress on earth. And I think there's a movie coming out this August with her playing Julia Child called Julie and Julia,
okay.
Where Amy Adams and she basically correspond with each other. Amy Adams is cooking Julia Child's recipes.
Okay.
And it's directed by Nora Ephron. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's about the only thing that adults can really do.
That can stomach, as it were.
And respect themselves in the parking lot.
All right, we'll look for it. Wesley Morris is a film critic for the Boston Globe. He joined us for member station WGBH in Boston. Hey, thanks. Live long and prosper.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you very much.